Hey everybody, welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett, that's B-R-E-T Williams, and today's... the show is sponsored by Warby Parker. Trial.com/insider. Warby, W-A-R-B-Y, Parker, trial.com/insider. Don't go to warbyparker.com. That's a porn site. I'm not talking about regular porn. I'm talking about the stuff that can get you in trouble with the feds. That's not true at all. You can go to warbyparker.com if you want. But if you want to help out the show, warbyparker.com is not a porn site. It's a glasses site. And it's not just a glasses site. It's home to the best and most beautiful glasses in the world. But if you go to warbyparkertrial.com/insider, you will find an exclusive deal just for listeners of Classical Guitar Insider and probably 100,000 other podcasts. You can pick 5 frames. They'll mail them to you for free. You can try them out for 5 days and see which one you like. You can buy it anytime. Make it your own by purchasing online, and we'll send you a fresh pair. Not me, but they will. Once your 5 days are up with them, so remember, you get a box of 5 glasses, you get to pick them out, and then you get to purchase your pair online, and whatever you decide to go with, that's what you get. They get you a fresh, brand new pair, okay? Then you return the rentals, you place it in a box, and you mail it with a prepaid return label, and you're done! Exclamation point. The only thing you do have to do is pick out your frames. I don't wear glasses, all right? I'm ready for the apocalypse. I'll throw you on my shoulder. We'll get on a moped because my foot doesn't work too well, and we will get to a safe distance from the other clans. You know, on the side of the mountain that they generally don't go because they're afraid at this point that there are new gods, and they're afraid that there's a dormant thundering god down there. We've all started to become worshippers of paganistic worshippers again. Everything, it's just back to the Stone Ages, and I'm gonna be there with my perfect vision. I think I'd be a good commander for my treehouse. I'll tell people what to do. I won't be a good commander. You know, I'd be a good politician. I'll bring people together. I'll bring my clan members together with the tacticians, and so that we can take over the other clans on the other side of the mountain. But until then, you can go to warbyparkertrial.com/insider, and you can pick out your frames right there. Right there, you can pick out the frames you want. You got, how about this? For the men's frames, we've got Benson, which is a whiskey tortoise. No? How about the Durand, which is a woodland tortoise? Woodland tortoise shell. The Hardy, Striped Pacific. You know, I'm not too into the Hardy. It's a Striped Pacific, it says. It's too, feel like an architect. The Wilkie, Eastern Bluebird Fade. Looks a little bit like Western Germany before the fall of the wall. The Baker, Striped Sassafras. Now, that's what I'm talking about. If I'm going to wear glasses, I want to look like Atticus Finch, you know, before the racist book that was just written. The Kill a Mockingbird, not the Ghost Set of Watchmen, Atticus Finch. Burke, Tennessee Whiskey. Okay, that's cool. I will see if I'm up to going when the time comes. All right. Just got a text. The Burke. Burke looks a little too nerdy. Looks like John Malkovich and Peggy Sue got married. The Baker, I think that's my style. Striped Sassafras. Yeah. The Baker's the softest of the 6 that I'm looking at. You know, just get soft. All right, nerds. If you're going to wear glasses, you're not going to look like you're in Blade Runner. Okay? Remember that game Half-Life? They tried to put glasses on the hero. That was like a big deal. They're like, yeah, he's strong, but he's got these glasses. Yeah, the Baker. The Baker, I'm going to sit there with my grandpa's Meerschaum pipe on my imaginary balcony, and I'm going to smoke and read. I'm telling you. Yeah. If you're talking about reading glasses, that's it. What about the women's frames? They got those too. Just like you're in the store. Beautiful photos. Can I interest you in the daisy? It's an Aurelia tortoise shell. I mean frame, no? How about the laurel? It's kind of got this oak barrel frame. What about the Simone, the tea rose fade? Yeah, Simone's looking good. Da-da-da-da. Out of all of them, I'd say the Welty at warbyparkertrial.com/insight. The Welty's not looking too good to me. Welty looks a little dour. She looks like she, I don't know. She's a quiet one. Doesn't say much. The Laurel looks like she's going to be trouble. I'm talking about people with these frames. Finch. Finch is going to be crazy, but she's going to leave you. She's going to leave you on the chopping block. You guys tell me. Tell me what you think. Tell me what these glasses say to you. Annette, paddle tortoise. Tortoise. Annette looks great. Annette's, you know, she's simple. She's going to throw these glasses in her purse. By the way, these are the names of the frames that you can get at warbyparkertrial.com/insider. Annette. Annette, it's great to see you. She's coming straight from work. You got her favorite cocktail ready for you, for her, when you show up at the bar. The Daisy I'm probably the least interested in. I'm going to go with the Finch or the Simone. And at that point, it just comes down to maybe, you know, the way we work chemically or sexually. Simone, you know, Simone comes up to me. Simone. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Little tea rose fade there. You know what I like about Simone's? Simone is this nice, girly little pink on the bottom. You know what I mean? But the top, a little bit of masculine, you know? You should want that. You should want a little bit of masculinity in your females. And I do, and I get it with the Simone glasses. So, Simone, you're my girl. You always have been. Finch, though, I'm never going to forget you. Finch, you made me laugh. Your effortless style, I hope that everybody enjoys it as much as I did. And the best of luck to you. But I found somebody else. I'm actually seeing somebody I care a lot about. I'd love to go to coffee with you sometimes, Finch, if we can do it. But this is just going to be as friends. And you're a dear friend. And then when Finch actually says yes, she wants to go to coffee and she tries to set up a date, you're like, you know, next week's not too good. You know? Then you talk to your friend Annette about it. Annette's the work girl. You know, the one with the small glasses that she is just reading glasses. She's just a little nearsighted there. Welty, no thanks. I don't ever want to talk to you. Laurel, I know you're going to be a pain in the ass. And Daisy, you're nice. You're nice, but you're more like office Christmas party girl. You know what I mean? This is so unfair. Da-da-dum. Remember, everybody, I am objectifying glasses, not women. Men's frames, back to the men. So again, I'm going with the Baker because I think it looks like Atticus Finch, pre-racist Atticus Finch. All right, Atticus Finch from Mockingbird, not Atticus Finch from, like, surprise, I'm a racist. Not that guy. But the guy who, like, you know, defends people in court that, you know, are otherwise helpless. Surprise, I'm a racist. That's the Baker. Anyway, that is warbyparkertrial.com/insiders. Read. Let's hear it from me. Today on the show, we have the Cathara Project. You know these guys, right? Scott Borg. Adam Levin. And also Matt Rhode. Matt Rhode had his own episode, so I guess Matt Rhode's getting to double dip. The Cathara Project is a sponsor of the show. Did I already redo their read? Let's do it again. Who cares? Did I do their read? I think I did. Did I do it? I mean, guys, this is kind of a read. This is kind of like your show, but you know what? I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to hope that I didn't do it because I really liked my Warby Parker read. All right, the Cathara Project also is sponsoring the show, so it's important for me to at the front of the show to tell you what's going on. This is their mission. The mission of the Cathara Project is a collective of internationally acclaimed guitarists with the mission of bringing the guitar to global communities with limited access to live music and music education. And the way they do this, all right, what they're doing basically is they're going to communities that don't have access to guitars, that don't have access to classical music necessarily, in a meaningful way, and that don't have access to classical musicians. And they're bringing them there. And Matt Rode, for one, has a long history of outreach, most notably in the Gaza Strip that he talks about on his episode. And they make sure that these people get it. How do they do it? They provide quality musical experiences for young people, so performances and lectures. They partner with public, private, and charter schools. That means they don't just march into the school and scream, "Hey, I got a guitar," because they would get arrested. They supplement current music programs. They expand collaborations with community organizations to reach greater numbers of disadvantaged young people, particularly in inner city communities and communities without access to live arts experiences. They encourage long-term concert attendance by young people. Isn't that important? They provide inspiring role models for students of all ages and backgrounds. Who are those inspiring role models? They're Scott Borg, Adam Levin, and Matt Rode, who are on today's show. So in order to spare you from too many details, this has actually been an incredibly complicated week. And I am ready to stop talking, because talking has gotten me into some trouble this week. Sometimes I talk too much. Talk too much to my quartet. I got this great girl that I'm dating, and I'm trying to hold that together. I don't want to talk about that too much, but it's getting next level, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be single. I'm essentially not. I'm not single. I'm not single anymore. That's what I mean. But we're talking about like within the last day. So we'll see. We'll see how that all works out. I would love it to work out. I think she would too, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what's going through her beautiful and creative mind. But I just, we'll see. Hoping I can hold this one together. You know, I got my sights set. And I'm going to go for it. And I don't want to give you guys too much information because, I'm tired of feeling like a fool. And I need to protect the integrity of those that I am dating. And now I'm only dating one. There is only one. My heart is overflowing with my feelings for one woman. But I don't want to talk about it too much yet. I need to go. You know what? She's a pretty public person. I bet you she'll be cool with me talking about it. But then she'll want to listen, and then I'll be afraid that she's listening all the time. Right now, I don't think she's listening. So I think I'm safe. Anyway, so that's what's going on. I've got to talk with more respect to the people I work with, and I've got to manage this new relationship. And I also have to, get a job. Maybe Warby Parker. Maybe enough of you will donate to the show this week. You can go to Classical Guitar, not Classical Guitar. You go to BrettWilliamsMusic.com, B-R-E-T, WilliamsMusic.com. All right? And you can donate. The donate button's on the right side of the podcast page. You can donate as much as you want or as little as you want. It doesn't matter to me. Well, it does matter. If you donate a lot, I'm going to send you a nice email. A lot being anything over $5. I'll email you no matter what you do. You do a dollar, I'll email you, all right? I hope you guys are doing good. Let's get on with the show today. Today's it's a fun day. It's a fun day. It's an exciting day because we have three people on the show. That's always interesting, and I haven't listened to it yet. I'm about to listen to it. I just want to do the intro first so that I'm thinking about these things. And then we'll see. I'll see you on the other side of this interview. All right, guys? Here is Adam Levin, Matt Rode, and Scott Borg.
We've got the Kathara Project, right?
With special guest Adam Levine.
With
five. It's so crazy. How many times has that happened before?
So, yeah, are you related to him?
No, but
you kind of look like him a little bit. You guys look like the same family.
We are from the same tribe in general.
The Levines.
Yeah, the Levines. They were second in command. Way back in the day.
Is that right?
In biblical times.
Second.
It was the fucking Coens. They were the... Oh, wait a second. Language?
No, you can say fuck.
Oh, we can?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go to town.
From a very early age, when I was in kindergarten, it was always like a faux pas. Like, my friend, who I think stayed back like 5-6 grades,
right.
Until he like dared me to say
Fuck. He only stayed back 4 grades.
Wait, what do you mean? So the Cohens are the biggest tribe?
So in biblical Jewish times, the Cohens were the number ones. They were the numero unos.
The Cohens.
Yeah, I know. That's what they used to. You know, they you knew that it was the Cohens.
Right.
They always had their chest out. And they're like, "What's up, brah?" And I was like, "What's up, brah?"
No, that's what it was.
I'm a Levite, and
what's a Levite?
A Levite is another right? family. They were second in command. Yeah,
in command of what?
The biblical lands.
The biblical.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
Biblical lands.
Yeah. The biblical ants or lands?
Lands.
Yeah.
The biblical lands.
I would love to. Yeah, the biblical ants would be very interesting to study as well.
So let's just say our names. The person speaking is.
Oh, Adam Levin.
Adam Levin.
Yeah, which is not exactly Adam Levine, but you would be so surprised. Well, by how many times
you don't have an E.
Concerts,
you don't have an E at the end.
I know, but they always get confused. They're like, oh, then maybe they just promoted incorrectly, and they're like, I'm going to go to the concert. Then they immediately show up and are completely disappointed when I come out on stage.
Are you Jewish?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, so Levin?
Levin is a very Jewish name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know all my Jewish names.
Yeah. It's a very...
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And if you didn't know that, then you see my face, and you're like, yep, he's a Jewish
fella. Well, you never know. You could be Italian. Scott Borg is here. He's the Australian. If you hear his accent, you'll know who he is, right?
I'm pretty sure that Australian was classed as the best accent in the world, right?
That's what you were saying. You were saying that Australian women were voted worst accent of all.
No, well, they actually ranked pretty high, but personally, I don't enjoy the Australian accent.
Personally? You hate your own voice.
I kind of do, actually. Yeah. I was listening to myself the other day.
I bet it's a great pillow talk voice. Like, I'm sitting next to you in bed would probably be really a lot of fun.
It's really nasal.
What? Nasal?
Nasal, like, you know? And I just, actually, I can't handle
even
it.
Sexier.
When your voice softens and you talk, like, really tenderly to people, it's very sweet, actually. It's a good accent, a good voice.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think the two of you have very... mysterious voices.
Yes, and Matthew Rhode is here again. He was on 2 episodes ago, and he's the guy who you're going to hear in the background because we don't have enough microphones. And because he was already on, so you're not allowed to speak that off. I'm just joking. You're as part of the Cathara Project, as a big part of it, as one-third of the Cathara Project, you should chime in, but you'll just be... People will have to strain to listen to you, which I have no problem with. Are you okay with that?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Yeah, so Matthew Rhode is back.
Or you could just yell as well.
Yeah. You could just yell.
Yeah.
Why don't you go? Let me check your level. Keep talking there, Scott. Tell us your favorite. What's your favorite? Tell us the plot of your favorite movie. Go.
Well, I'm not really sure I can talk about that plot. I'm not sure it's suitable for this type of audience. Yeah,
I got the level. You're all set. You're all done.
It's Beauty and the Beast,
let's
right?
Let's start with you. I feel like going Aussie first. You guys feel like going Aussie first?
Sure.
All right, Scott.
Yep.
When did you start playing guitar?
When I was 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so classical right out of the gate?
Yeah, like right out of the gate.
Out of the cage.
That's what they...
Yeah. Oh, they well, I mean, yeah, I guess I was let out of my cage at 7. I mean...
The wildebeest is coming out. Yeah. I guess I was let out.
I mean, you know, people always like...
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Did you come out of the cage?
Yeah, well, I mean, people always talk about...
We're not talking about the womb either.
No, people always talk about there being poisonous animals and everything like that in Australia. But, you know, the children growing up in Australia, they're actually all in cages. And at the age of 7, they're allowed to be let out because, you know... They might get eaten when they're like younger.
You know,
by just roaming around in the wilderness.
Because you know,
because of the dragons that are in Australia.
Yeah. Oh my God! Dragons are real.
Yeah,
drag queens are real.
Drag queens.
Because of the drag queens. Is that why?
Hang on, are we talking about Priscilla, Queen of the Desert here? Because that was a movie about drag queens.
Was that an Australian movie?
Oh yeah, it was like a classic.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it?
No.
Let's quit this right now and go and rent it.
All right, I'm going to Google it.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Is it Priscilla?
Rent it.
Do you still rent movies?
Yeah.
He still has a VHS.
Wait, do you still rent movies, Scott Borg?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happens? What do you rent? What was the last movie?
The last movie I rented was...
Best interview ever. I am on my game. What's the last movie you rented?
The new James Bond movie.
What?
The new James Bond movie.
Not Skyfall.
Spectre.
Spectre.
Yeah.
So you walked into...
Was it good?
I mean, I'm not a big fan of Daniel Craig as Bond. I think that...
You don't like gingers as Bond is a problem. You don't like
he does like his
you don't
body.
Like blonde Bond.
Yeah, I mean, but you know,
are you okay with blonde Bond?
Well, I mean, I would be, but he just doesn't have that kind of like charm, suave, like
Connery.
Yeah,
he's a very serious man.
I know. I mean, but Bond's not really serious. Like, I feel as if that they tried to make it into Jason Bourne.
Yeah.
Which
Jason Bourne.
They did.
I love Jason Bourne.
Yeah, but Bourne is not Bourne.
Well, the answer for movies for the last 20 years has been to take a character and darken them to the darkest recesses of all the shadows.
Yeah, like Batman. Which
I enjoy.
They should have James Bond versus
But then they
Bourne.
Tried to do it with Spider-Man, and that felt like... I liked the funny, goofy Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
I want to come back to this thing about you renting movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you walking into... You're walking into...
You're a Blu-ray guy?
No, I'm just like a...
You know what? I'm sorry. Yeah. Matt, I keep interrupting you. Matt, no. Please talk. What you wanted to ask him about renting the movie?
I'm just curious about Scott Borg in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Walking into a video.
Scott Borg.
Well, I mean, it's not like I walk in... Like, you know, I go to a Redbox.
No, you don't.
I do go to a Redbox.
Like the ones that sound so dirty when you say that. I'm going to a Redbox.
Wait, so you rent it and you just it's convenient because you can just drop it off in the
box. Well, yeah, and the other thing is that it's actually like $2.50 $2.50 cheaper than actually buying it on demand.
Okay, I'm down with you. I'm with you, but are you my age then? Are you 30? I'm 39.
I'm 36.
Okay, so we're same. We have that love for physical media.
I love like the tactile kind of nature.
Yeah.
You know, being able to open it and be able to be thrilled with it, you know, be able to hold the CD, DVD in your hands.
Or actually, in your case, just like, peel open the envelope and then lick it and seal it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has been licked by 25,000 other people.
That's what's so important about Redbox. Yeah. And then, so you're playing guitar at 7. You're let out of your cage. We've already discussed that. But who did you have who do you remember the name of your teacher?
Yeah, well, I mean, my dad actually taught me for like the first 7 years.
So your dad's a serious guitarist.
And believe it or not, you know, his name is Victor Borg, which is no relation to the pianist, like comedian Victor Borg. Also, not related to Bjorn Borg, but. Who knows?
I don't know either one of those people.
Tennis player and Victor Borg?
Victor Borg, I kind of... Is that an Australian comedian? Or is he an English... English comedian.
No. He's...
That's what I meant.
No, he's like a European guy. I can't remember where he's from.
Victor Borg.
I know Victor Pete Borger, Sampras. Andre Agassi.
Upside down and play it. And then, you know, he'll be sitting there and like a singer would sing a high note. He would fall off his stool and put on a seatbelt.
I have a light memory of him for some reason.
Everyone should go out and rent.
I'm like going there right now.
Like a movie, but most of those you can actually find it every now and then on those PBS specials. Like, you know, you donate to PBS and you get like a disc box thing of Victor Borger's greatest hits.
PBS is known for comedy, just like the classical guitar universe is known for comedy. That's like why this podcast does so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's just people. When they think about classical guitar or NPR,
they think of Brett Williams.
They think of funny shit.
Yeah.
They think of
they think funny of Brett Williams.
Yeah.
No.
Universe.
No, Brett Williams is not very funny today. But you know what? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, you are.
I'm fine.
Let's say some affirmations together.
Okay. Okay.
I am good.
I am good.
I am a classical guitarist.
I equal hilarious. I love this. This is the best interview ever.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I like sunny days. They make me happy.
Okay, they make me happy. Okay.
I like rainy overcast days. They always make me happy.
You know, I like rainy overcast days.
I think that people should know that right now I'm in a tumultuous situation that 20 minutes ago I was in with a girl that I like very much, and we're working through it together. But I can't do it on air. But we're trying to communicate
true catharsis
through our eyes.
Yeah,
it's like we're trying. I like what's happening because we're at once trying to conduct an interview about an important project and about guitar, and at the same time we're kind of just winking at each other, like it's okay, dude. It's all right. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, there's a mutual understanding here.
Also, what about using clicks, actually.
What about you, Adam? Are you in a relationship? Married or what's going on?
I'm not married. I've been in
He's pretty much married, though.
11-year relationship?
11,000 years.
It feels like that.
Yeah, 11,000.
Back to biblical times, actually.
Yeah. Back
it's biblical times.
The Levites. The Cohens are going down.
The Levites. Levites.
Yeah.
So that's...
Levites, yeah.
Is that so? That
so I'm Levin, but it came from the Levite family.
So Levite, would that be? They would also have Levi
jeans, Levin. Jeans on. Yeah, Levi jeans.
Would they
on.
Have, and then they would have the Levines. So are those all those families like little like Starks and Car Starks in Game of Thrones?
Dude, I'm not a rabbi. I don't know the extent to that
I was
history.
Like, this is gonna be fun. First rabbi on the
show. Well, it's funny you should mention Rabbi. Excuse me, Rabbi Victor, would you come in?
So the 11-year relationship?
Yeah. No. So I met a girl in August of last year.
Yeah.
And
we need some background music going. Yeah. I met a girl.
Yeah, and it was online.
It was online.
And actually, it was a cool first date. I like really sort of off the...
What was the first date? What was it?
Okay, so
this is like all I want to talk about now is girls. Yeah. Let's just talk about
relationships.
Girls.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's, yeah, that's fun.
I mean, I wouldn't talk about it.
If you want to look up Cathar Project, which is important, we'll get around to it and why it's important. But for right now,
girls come first.
Girls come first right now. This is National Girl Day.
It is
on Classical Guitar Insider. We're going to talk about just girls.
Girls.
All right, go for it.
Anyway, so we met
first date. What happens?
Okay, let me set the
Matt
scene.
Is fucking,
so you guys
can't believe this is happening.
Are there some candles that we can set up here?
I don't know. Wendy probably uses it with whatever guy she's sleeping.
Well, I want to create sort of a romantic atmosphere.
She says he's an English guy.
Who's an English guy?
Well, what's really funny about this is that we are in the ex girlfriend's apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're actually sitting on the new boyfriend's chairs.
Oh, wow.
He actually smells like sweet lavender in here.
That's him. Yeah. That's our new man.
All right, where is he? Let's go and beat the shit out of him.
He's English, apparently, so that's cool.
Well, he's got the accent going for him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, good job, sweetheart. Yeah. You're doing right. All right, what's going on?
Anyway, so it's an August rainy day.
Yeah.
We were supposed to go tandem biking, but it rained.
I thought you were going to say we're meant to go tanning.
Yeah, we're meant to go tanning together. It's great for the skin.
Tandem biking.
Tandem biking, which, by the way, is complete euphoria. Like, if you have not been tandem biking...
I have.
You have? Oh,
talk to them. Talk to Scott and Matt and...
Yeah,
guys,
I'm intrigued.
I mean, literally, put a girl on the back or the front, but, you probably want to be steering it.
Yeah, you know, because they can't steer.
Yeah, they can't steer. Yeah, Men are better drivers than
just
females.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to get the crap kicked
sexist.
Out of me on the street.
Yeah. I totally. You know what?
I love women.
It's actually pretty. You
hear that noise? It sounds like wind, but it's actually women about to beat the door down and beat the shit out of us.
Yeah, and I'm down with that. I'm ready for that. I kind of want to be beaten right now. Go ahead, please.
It's an S&M
ahead.
Shit right there.
This is great. This is so. I'm going to go with this.
Okay.
I'm going to ride this shit into it. Let's.
You're going to riot.
I'm going to riot. Shit. That's right. I'm going to take these motions and we're going to have so much fun with them.
Yeah. Okay. So
we were tandem biking.
We were going to go
on a
tandem
first
biking.
Date.
Yeah, we were going to. I like aggressive first dates.
In a
very peaceful, aggressive kind of way. Yeah. Anyway, so. That we put
a
peaceful aggressive way. Right. Anyway, so we decided on something else. We were going to make art together. So I bought.
That's right. Yeah.
So I bought $150 worth of sushi, and I was going to place each piece of sushi on her body. No, I'm just kidding. No.
This is art.
Yeah.
This is art.
Yeah, this is art.
Right.
Yeah, this is true art. Trust me, I promise.
It's a trust. It's a game of trust.
So anyway, I went to an art store. And spent $150 on art supplies.
Oh, my God.
I bought canvas, papers, coloring, glitter.
For the first date?
Yeah, balsa wood and paint and all that stuff. And she gave me an address, which I thought I was going to then be killed and buried at. But it turned out she was a beautiful, beautiful human being, and we just made art all night, and we made just like random
made art.
Yeah, made art. Yeah.
Did you end up? We don't know. Later on.
Yeah.
But the point is, the first thing was making art. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she would be happy.
No, that's incredibly. That, it's playful and it's
it is.
Fun.
It's like a perfect first date because you're creating something. It's something you can.
You're communicating.
Yeah. So you guys can be. So she had her her design, her piece of architecture, right. And then there was mine. Mine was by far the biggest freak show of all that evening, but it was awesome. I still have it.
I kind of feel as if, though, on like a first date, it's a really great way to make a bit of a fool of yourself as well, but in like a really kind of creative, kind of very intimate way.
Yeah, we had some wine, and we did this all on the Harvard campus too. She just because she works at she was at this lab or this government building, I don't remember.
At the Harvard campus?
Yeah, she was a Harvard girl? She's a stem cell researcher.
You got
And she goes to Harvard, and she's like,
and you went to
Yale. The Harvard building.
Wait, so it was a Yale Harvard sort of like a
Yale? Wait.
No, we went to.
Oh yeah, that's right. They went to Yale. And my
you
girlfriend.
Went to Eugenio Murillo the Hostos Community College in the Bronx, New York, U.S.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. I took all the AP classes in college.
You took enough continuing education classes to equal a
one course
of music, right?
One. No, it wasn't even that much.
One credit.
I took 6 years of community college credits, and it equaled 1 year. No, 1 day of class at Harvard. Anyway, so we met, had a great first date. I definitely made a better art project than she did, and she'll agree with that.
What? Do you remember it?
Oh, I have pictures of it.
Do you reckon that she was? Oh, can we see them?
Yeah, I can go. They're over there.
Right. Why don't you describe?
Yeah. Okay, so mine looked. So it was it was made out of balsa wood. So I built this.
Balsa wood is like a light, scented wood.
Yeah, and it's very malleable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I use an X-Acto knife and you cut it.
I'm sure that 99% of the people listening know what balsa wood is, but I just needed to confirm it for me.
Balsa wood, it's a very flexible wood. It's very easy to cut. You can.
Sorry, I was just tapping. Okay. You know?
Yeah, just
sorry about that.
Those are the female rioters outside beating on the door. Yeah. Get over here, you
Adam
pig.
Levin.
Yeah, Adam Levin. Yeah,
I feel as if it's like Mortal Kombat style, like, you know, get over here.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, that's a perfect Mortal Kombat style voice.
Yagen. Wait, what is it? What is
that's
Ryu?
Street
Ryu.
That's
all
Street
you
body,
can.
Yeah.
All you can.
All you can.
All you can. Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah.
I think, is that right? Or is that.
It's something like that, right?
No, Sonic Boom.
No, that's.
That's someone else.
That's Sonic.
No, it's
the Hedgehog.
Sonic
the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
That's the thing. Is like I would talk. You know,
that was Guile.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. 36, loving it. Yeah. Talk to me about what happened. So you painted. You remember the?
Yeah. Painting? So we painted. So after I built. So she was building her own art project.
Yeah.
And hers collapsed mid date.
She couldn't even keep it.
Yeah, she couldn't keep it together. She was so romanced by my project.
And you were on it. You were on it. You're like, well, this is what happens when you don't go to college.
Yeah, this is what happens.
The skills of a man that didn't go to college.
So what you're trying to say is that your model craft project stayed erect.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did. Yeah. My model craft project, it was extremely what's the word again?
Erect.
Erect.
Yeah. Yeah. And it stayed that way throughout the entire date. Yeah.
The things that make us laugh.
Oh God.
It was
anyway, it was very, and then so
this is great.
The
how tall would you say it was?
Yeah, I mean this thing. I mean feet. I don't know. I mean, we want to talk meters. Yeah.
Meters is probably
Probably better for me, yeah.
Yeah, probably meters. If we talk about these things in meters, it's probably best for Scott.
Yeah.
I've got no idea. I've actually got to take a driving test soon. I've got no idea about distances. Like, I don't even know what's longer, like a foot or a yard.
I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know that kind of thing.
Yeah, the project
people say square feet. They go like, it's 700 square feet. And I'm like, great. Yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about. That's like a bathroom, right? I don't know what they're talking about.
That's a very...
Now I know because I'm, moving every, 3 months.
You're very nomadic.
I'm a nomadic New Yorker at this point, yes. Actually,
do you wear the nomadic clothing?
The garb of the nomads?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that similar to the garb that the Levites used to wear?
Yes.
Wow, that's cool.
A lot of white, a lot of blue.
Yeah.
Something old, something new.
Mm-hmm.
Robes down to my shoes.
Wow. What kind of shoes are you wearing?
Levi
shoes. Those are the best brand shoes. Yeah. Man.
I want to. Okay.
So, anyway, that was the first date. She's incredible. I mean, she's...
How long have you guys been dating?
Since August. Yeah. Oh. It's been super... And she... this is the
thing. It's been easy?
Yeah, it's been
easy. Oh, it's been easy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like, okay.
It's uncomplicated. She loves classical guitar. She's super supportive. I mean, can't say enough good things. I mean, in previous relationships, the guitar has always been treated as like a competitor.
Or something in the way.
Yeah, yeah, like a lover. It's like, what the hell are you doing with that lover of yours? Come back to me.
Oh, that's insane.
But this one, this girlfriend, her name's Ornella. Ornella is an Italian name. Anyway.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great. What's so special about that?
No, that is. Is she Italian?
No, she's Albanian.
Oh, mm-hmm. The old...
Yeah, it's right upstate New York.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
There's
no,
a lot of Albanians around here.
Yeah, no, there's a huge community in Worcester outside of Boston.
Worcester. Scott, what about you? You married?
Yeah.
Yeah? How many times have you been married? Like 3 times, 4 times?
He's polygamous, actually.
Yeah. No. Just once.
Just once. Yeah. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Did you meet her doing art or no?
No. Actually met her at a toga party.
Are you... Don't mess around.
No, I'm serious. Toga party, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like the fourth week of school.
Were you in a fraternity?
No. We just decided to have a toga party. Yeah.
Oh, you had it.
Yeah. Oh, well, a friend hosted it. But then I was in a little band and we played just some tunes and togas. And she showed up in a toga.
Tunes and togas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, tunes and togas.
Oh, she showed up in a toga.
Yeah. Did she? Yeah.
I'm not a Greek guy. It wasn't in frats and stuff. I never really did it. But
Greek life is...
The girls in the togas, that... Jesus.
But it's just, you know, but it's also very...
What?
I think it's... I like girls in togas.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
Oh, I'm with you on that.
I mean, there's not a lot of clothes.
All the rest of the stuff that they do, not really down with. Never really. I was always like, it's too much money. And I'll find other ways to find friends than paying for them.
I always thought the exact same thing. Well, there's going to be some frat guys outside.
So we got frat guys and
angry women.
Angry women. They're ready to kill us. It's okay. you met her there.
Yeah, I met her there. And you know what? I was like infatuated with her from like the moment I saw her. But it was actually funny. I had actually met her 2 years earlier in New York at just like a friend's apartment. I was like, who's this girl?
Yeah.
And and then for like the next 2 years, she avoided me like the plague, which is awesome.
See? Okay. Okay, I'm with you on
and
this.
And then, but you know.
So stalking works.
I was persistent. I mean, well, actually, there was a time where I was like, you know, I'm going to back off. And then it was like, you know, why isn't he paying attention to me?
Yeah, no shit.
And, yeah, you know, and then, stupid. But it was kind of funny. A lot of my friends were
I'm the same way, though.
Know, everyone was like, no, Scott, this is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. Just stay away, you know.
And, almost the opposite of what Adam went through.
Yeah, and like, and stay away and everything like that. And I always knew that it would just, you know, if there was that one chance, you know, just one date. And so we went out, had some dinner, and then we just stayed up all night talking and put on Amelie, which is always a great first date video to watch.
Sure. I thought you said we both put on armor.
Yeah.
Body armor. You guys are into medieval stuff.
Oh, yeah. I went to a Renaissance festival. If you haven't been to a Renfest.
I love them.
Oh, my God.
Did you go to the New York one?
No, I went to the Maryland one. This is like...
I am like all about Renaissance festival. Okay, I was talking about this last
Renfest
night.
This Renfest was like... Okay, imagine...
he's saying Ren. You don't got time for a Renaissance.
Yeah, I mean, who's got time for that? but, oh, incredible.
Yeah.
I actually want to kind of get all the gear and like dress up. And there was like a dude who had a falcon. Like the falcon was flying around. Incredible. Anyway.
I love them so much.
Yeah, and then so I knew that they just needed that, you know, one date. And then we kind of, you know, we were just kind of very quiet about just kind of, you know, just liking each other. And then...
Wait, so you had the date and then... Okay, so you said there was 2 years of her... being on and off. So the first date was before that or after that? The break.
Yeah, after that. So it was like maybe 2 weeks before.
So you hadn't even had a date? You were just courting straight
well,
up?
Well, yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? Calling?
Yeah,
texting.
Well, I mean, she also had a boyfriend at the time, which was like, you know, obviously problematic.
Yeah, hey, but, ladies, if you have, I don't deal with that right now, but if you do have a boyfriend and you're seeing somebody else, go with the somebody else. Yeah. All right? Just go.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough. Leave that schmuck behind.
It's not even the schmuck. It doesn't matter who the schmuck is. It's just like, look, it's not working. Get out. You know what I mean? If you're sitting there and you're sleeping with somebody else, just get out.
Yeah.
That's what I
said. But, you know, she was always kind of very, you know, very kind of sweet and upfront about, you know, what her situation was and everything like that. And, you know, and we...
She didn't want to hurt him and stuff like that.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, you know, because... You know, when people are in relationships, they obviously care about that person.
Yeah.
Or else they wouldn't really be in that relationship. And, you know, and then we just went on, like, you know, just like a few dinners and everything like that. And, yeah, it was great. And I was actually meant to go to...
You guys don't mind the sirens and stuff, do you?
Oh, no, no,
I don't
care about
that
totally
kind
fine.
Of stuff.
And they're then, coming for us.
And then I was actually meant to go to... I was meant to go to Siena and then go back to Australia.
Were you going to study with Oscar Gillian?
Yeah, I was going to, but...
Were you going to be like, Oscar, look at me?
No. Well, I was going to do the accent, you know, trick on him, you know, that hypnosis. But, you know, and then I didn't end up going to Siena because I didn't want to leave. Because, you know, as soon as I left, I wouldn't have been allowed to come back into America because I wouldn't have had a visa or anything like that.
Oh,
so
that was our
so I stayed.
Opportunity to get rid of him.
And then Siena, I decided to come back and restudy to kind of, you know, as the main objective was because I wanted to be with this girl.
Isn't it amazing? Girls, I mean, they will...
They'll make you change make your entire world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they know that. So I think that's why they're kind of sometimes hesitant.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, God, you know, I have all this power. They have power.
Oh,
once they get into you, once they hook you, it's like it's over.
Yeah,
it's impossible.
You can't do anything. You
can't do anything.
Yeah.
But as far as you guys meeting, how'd you guys meet?
So
let's ask Matt. Here, go ahead. You know, just gently scoot the microphone.
Okay.
Over. Okay. So you guys all know each other.
We all know
Matt
each other
Rode now. Matt Rode.
We all know each other independently. Hi, Adam.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Looking good today.
When was the last time
you guys are all looking good. You guys had a photo shoot.
When was the last time we saw one another?
I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, though.
These are the types of conversations that
anyway.
All the time.
Yeah.
A couple years, maybe?
Yeah.
You guys played beautifully last night, too. You had the fundraiser, which people can still donate to Cathara Project. But you guys had the fundraiser last night. You guys played. It was awesome. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved what you guys did with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys played some Albanese. You played a solo Taroba.
Then we went back to Albanese.
Then you made more Albanese. Yeah. But when you did Albanese, you did it kind of like almost like a Badi Assad style thing where you're making noises and you're clicking and you're hitting the guitar. So you're
whistling
new
and
take,
singing. Yeah.
You're taking the melody and you're moving it around. You're doing variations on it.
It was a very liberal arrangement, I would say.
It was as liberal as it gets, baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I loved it. All right,
baby.
So if you guys are looking for new takes on old standards,
you're looking for some fresh love.
Yeah,
some fresh Albanese.
Fresh Albanese. Straight out of the box.
Yeah,
hot. All right,
spicy.
What's go
Spanish?
Spanish. I like that. It's just like in air. Go ahead, tell me what happened. How'd you guys meet?
So Adam and I met in Siena, studying with Oscar. About when was it?
2005.
2005. Jesus.
I know, that's a long time
ago. It's more than a decade ago.
Yeah.
And so we spent the month of July.
Oh, so you did the Oscar thing.
Yeah, I did it 3 years, I think. Three years.
Yeah.
We would play guitar on the Campo every night. The Campo is the central plaza in Siena, and it's just magical.
Oh, I love that place.
Then we would go to class the next day, and everyone would kind of shit their pants before
playing
for
Oscar. I mean, it's the best
castle.
It's the best castle.
And we all bonded in a way that doesn't happen in, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible, incredibly magical place.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like it. And, I mean, of course, you know, the course with Gilia is unparalleled by any that I know of.
It's the whole experience, though.
Yeah,
it's the setting, the other students in it, the time in your life when you're there, Gilia himself, obviously. It all sort of comes together. It had a, for the time I spent there, it had a tremendously disproportionate effect on my life and the way I think of myself as a musician. And I mean,
How did it have that effect?
Oh, come on.
Just like you're saying, well, I guess deeper. You just said it's the place, which the place is magical. It's my favorite city in Italy, maybe.
Yeah.
That and Rome. But your experience there, though, with Oscar, that's the only thing I have. Like, what does Oscar do?
Oh, man.
Where do you even start with that? I mean, it's like zealotry.
He's a poet as a pedagogue.
No.
His insight into interpretation. Yeah. I mean, there's the romantic tradition that, you know, he was in sort of this long, illustrious line from Segovia to him. I mean, he inherited the class in Siena from Segovia. So there's this magic that's around that and mystery and...
He'll weave these storylines out of thin air to accompany whatever piece you're playing. And they're so convincing, and he delivers them so convincingly that you're convinced there could be no other way to think of whatever piece. Right. And then the next student will come on immediately after playing the same piece, and he'll weave an entirely different story once again out of thin air. And you're like, oh, my God. And it's
great.
I think it opened my – I mean, I'm just – I don't know. It opened my mind to –
Yeah.
So it's like all the different ways of thinking about something that you that
well poetic quantification of, you know, musical ideas and theory and stuff like that is very important.
Yeah.
And it's something that's lacking in a lot of other pedagogues. You know what I mean?
His imagination is boundless. And then also just to set the scenery a little bit.
Yeah.
You're taking a lesson in a palace,
yeah,
and in a
with like Caravaggio's on the wall, and we have and the, it's closed off to the public, so you have free run of the place essentially. And I mean, even that, just that sense for that moment, for the moment of being in the class, mm-hmm, and in Siena, of course, that sense of feeling that connected to history
and to
your instrument is not at all disconnected from the music, the effect of just the class itself. It's all bundled up together.
Yeah, I've always had such a, you know, yeah. Well, I didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know.
And it's very spontaneous. It's unpredictable. No matter how much you prepare for those lessons,
mm-hmm,
you can never be prepared for what he's going to say.
Because right. he's rough. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he's rough, but... He stands by the principle of music and serving that. It doesn't matter if you're the...
I'm just going to go close. Keep talking.
Yeah.
Keep talking.
Go tell him to shut up. But save lives, please. No, but Gilia, I mean, he's all about... It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 15 years old and a virtuoso or 40 and a virtuoso. He's going to treat you the exact same. He wants to serve the music and how to bring out the best. And he molds... interpretations sometimes from an interval, and he talks about that, and then he'll talk from that genetic core, and he'll expand upon that, and it's just an amazing process in which he dissects pieces.
I kept a little journal for 2 of the years I was there, and I would take notes during the class and write down some of the choicest quotes of the class. And a few months ago I picked that, I found that in my old pile of things, and I hadn't seen it in probably 10 years, and I could not believe some of the stuff I'd written down, some of the metaphors he was able to just
pull. Did you sketch?
I sketched as well. I did a lot of sketches. Yeah, I have sketches of him teaching and other students playing.
And that's not gonna happen. I've never done that. So he inspires these things in people.
It's incredible.
I have literally always made fun of that thing, and now you guys are selling me on it. Why can't anybody else? You guys have picked up on this poetry, and now I'm all.
There are very few teachers out there who are able to access that depth of understanding of music.
Well, and articulate it
so freely and.
Mm-hmm.
Delicately and sensitively, and all while accessing the teacher, or excuse me, the student who's in front of him. You know.
Yeah.
But he, yeah, amazing.
So you guys met there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Adam. Jeez. Adam met there, and that was.
Yeah.
Our relationship was forged in fire.
I don't like that. I was so dismissive of it because I actually went there. And then I sat through one of the master classes, and I was like, you know, I wasn't getting what you guys were getting out of it.
Did you want to be in the class?
Do it? No, I didn't try to do it. I just happened to be in Siena at the same time it was going on, and then took two people from that class.
It's a very scary thing. Number one,
Robbie Gibson.
Robbie Gibson.
Oh, yeah. Were you guys there?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so I probably was there. Me and Giacomo Levita came through. Were you there?
That must have been 2004.
Oh, no, that was your year.
Oh, I was there. I was there in 04.
Mm-hmm. I was there too. Yeah,
so I was there, and I went to one of the classes. I think Lauren. What is
Lauren,
her name?
Yep. I remember Lauren.
Atherton?
What's
her name?
What is her last name?
So, yeah, 2004. She's doing it. Uh-huh. And she was there, and she was like, can you get me out of town? We're like, yeah, come with us. We got a car. We got her out for, like, you know, a day.
Okay.
She kind of called, and we went to Rome and got loaded.
Nice.
She loved it. I know, but that was my thing. I was just like, if I'm in Italy, I want to like cruise around and have fun. So stupid. I should have just done that.
It's a very scary. I mean, the idea of traveling to another country in Europe from the States, it's actually a huge risk.
Robbie Gibson came with us too. He was pretty good.
Because the audition process is, you don't know if you're in the class.
We didn't know. Yeah, you show up on day one, and that's when the audition takes place.
Yeah.
And so you have 60 kids or 60 people in a room, and he's got a list.
Did you guys see people just melt down?
Oh.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Very, it's very stressful. And so you're sitting there, and you don't know when he's going to call your name. So you might be sitting in the audition room, which is public. Your hands are cold. And he'll say, Rhodey!
Matt Rhodey! Come out here, please! It's your turn!
It's something else. It's something else. And
yeah, and then, you know, and then there'll be Americans that'll try out and that wouldn't have gotten in. And they went all that way and did not pass the audition.
The next morning, there will be a list nailed to the door.
Oh my God.
With the 20 or 24 students.
Yeah, to that castle door.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile,
and
your pump
sort of congregates around it, and it's, you know, it's,
oh my God,
it's very, yeah, it's nerve wracking.
You have your heart in your hand. You're like literally pumping the blood into your heart.
And then when you get it, you're just like, yeah.
Oh, it's an incredible. Yeah.
Then you see that you're playing at 9 a.m. the next morning, and you're like, oh shit.
That's what I walked into, and I was like, I am so glad I'm not, because everybody was just like, they were working. I mean, it did not look fun. It looked like a lot of work.
It was a lot of stressful. But it was fun too. I mean, all 3 years I was there, I lived in these big multinational houses, mm-hmm. and we would cook lunch together every day and have dinner parties and then go out on the campo and drink till 4 in the morning and pass a guitar around. It was like a dream. It was magic.
I mean, there's literally people from everywhere.
From
Japan, Israel, China, Switzerland, Italy.
There's a French guy with long hair.
Benoit,
yeah.
Ariane had a... I think they had
was I doing? I'm just like running around. I'm not doing it. I'm not actually doing the class. I'm just like drinking.
You were just going after the Italian women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which is not a bad thing to do.
All right. Go on. So as far as you, how was your, how did you get involved here, Scott? How did you claw your way into this beautiful relationship?
Into this wound?
Well, it was vigorous. No, a lot of clawing actually. No. Matt and I, we actually met in New Haven. 2004.
The home of Yale.
Yeah.
Same year.
2004. Yeah. Yeah. And we became good friends pretty quickly, actually. And we actually had a duo together, which was quite remarkable, actually. You know, a lot of our...
It was certainly remarkable.
Yeah. It was so funny. I mean, you know, a lot of challenging stuff we worked on, and a lot of our rehearsals always consisted of a lot of laughs and a lot of wine and, you know, just a lot of, you know, chatting.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, that's a great word. And, you know, and it was a really kind of, you know, fantastic time. You know, just the whole kind of experience of being up in New Haven just was, you know, the campus itself, you know, being surrounded by just so, so much brilliance. Like, I mean, you know, in the dorms where I was living, like the guy that was like two doors down was like, you know, like the leading scholar of like Dante's Inferno and stuff like that. And, you know, you had, you know, people who were going on like archaeology.
Hold on,
you know,
a second.
Digs and everything like
that. You
mean
that. The guy was the guy living in the dorm with you? Was it, yeah. was it a guy named Matthew Pearl?
Oh, I don't remember what his name was, but
I know that. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, it was just an incredible time there. You know, just even like sitting on the campus and like hanging out at the library and everything. It's you know, pretty kind of inspiring to think of, you know, such kind of brilliant minds that that kind of went through there. You know, kind of walked those same halls and everything. Yeah, and then Adam and I, we met up in Boston. Adam had just finished up with Elliot, and then I started with Elliot, and our paths kind of crossed a lot. You know, the guitar community up in Boston at that time was, I think, one of the most brilliant times. You know, there was me, Adam, there was a guy called Steve Lin, who's now out in San Francisco, the flamenco player Grisha Gorachev was there, mm-hmm. And then also Belgian guitarist Jerome Wolf, and you know, we would all sit around and just play guitar. And, you know, it was such a remarkable thing, you know, being like the worst guitarist there. I mean, it was awesome. And, you know, just being surrounded by just people that could just play the absolute heck out of the instrument. And, you know, like, I mean, as, you know, in terms of, you know, like, I unfortunately didn't have... I mean, I've actually had a few experiences with Gillian now, which has been fantastic. I didn't have the Sienna experience, but... you know,
and Elliot is.
I mean, yeah, up in Boston, you know,
a tour de
it was force. It was so like, I mean, it was so amazing. Like, I mean, with Elliot, there was just such a life changing experience with him. But not only because of him, it was a life changing experience because of all of these other guys.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I mean. There were some lessons I would have no idea what Elliot would be talking about. And, you know, although I haven't had a lesson from him now for like 6 years, I'm still learning from it. Like, you know,
I agree
I'll play something and then all of a sudden
you'll
I'll
think
be like,
about what he something
yeah,
he said,
and then I'll be like, oh, that's what he was talking
and
about.
And that's so important,
you know?
To realize when you are taking these lessons is like you sometimes don't use what they said until much later on.
Yeah.
And then it happens to me all the time.
But you know, I kind of feel as if that, you know, the time which I had with these guys, I mean, you know, you always hear about, you know, like groups of composers being together and inspiring each other and like, you know, groups of like, you know, painters or something like that, you know, all being in the same scene and, you know, creating like the same style and kind of creating like a movement. I kind of feel as if that was the time I had with these guys. And, you know, we all have, you know, the same kind of, I think, vision of what music means. You know, it's not like a mechanical. It's not a mechanical thing. It's not looking for technical, like, perfection where everything has to be placed. You know, like, I mean, we kind of believe in spontaneity, letting, you know, our emotions come out, letting personality come out, you know. And, you know, and also I think that, you know, one of the reasons why all three of us kind of joined forces, you know, was just because we felt that, you know, music was something like the guitar is just something so much bigger than all of us. And, you know, what it can do to people, how it can make people feel, what it can do to us, what it can do to transform, you know, just even like the most kind of just every range of person, you know, the most troubled mind to, you know, the most kind of, you know, academically kind of focused person, like you can just completely just expand everything, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
man, and also like that. The fact is that you guys have stayed together this whole time and built this thing.
Yeah, I mean these friendships. I mean, we're talking about a decade worth of friendships.
But that friendship, and then moves into obviously becomes Cathar. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, Cathar Project or Kithara. Cathar. I don't know. We've
heard talked about everything. It a little bit with you. As far as I mean, What is the primary mission, and what communities is it targeting?
You know, can I just mention one thing? Because you know, Matt,
this is something you Matt, guys built
yeah.
together.
Matt always just says this one story, and yeah, and I just wanted to add this in just because Adam's very good at talking about this. But you know, one of the things that Matt always says, and I just think it's just so brilliant. You know, there's this one community which in Mexico where we are bringing guitar there. But you know, Matt will always say, you know, if you are a kid mm-hmm. that grows up in this little community, you will play guitar. And you know, I think that that's just such a beautiful kind of sentence, you know, that like just saying there's no ifs, no excuses, like you will have the opportunity to play.
Let's step back and let's take a step back and describe the mission first.
Sure.
So a year and a quarter ago on March 26th of 2015, we incorporated as Cathar Project Incorporated. And the three of us, being extremely passionate about the guitar and the idea that it's greater than the three of us, you're like, oh,
no, God.
No. Yeah, that's really so interesting. No. Anyway.
No, I'm into it. The guitar is greater than the three of us.
No, no, no.
I was like, oh,
right. Right, and it's time for a nap.
No,
but we
do service. We service the instrument. We're at the service of the instrument.
Yeah. So we can't.
We all have to at some point acknowledge that mm-hmm. and be like, it's not about money. It's about the instrument. It's about us being. That's where the brotherhood comes from. That's where the sense of family and purpose comes from. That without that, there is nothing. So once we admit that we are at the service of an instrument, then we have to find the way to do it. I'm doing it with this and with other things. Mm-hmm. You guys are doing it with other things, with your compositions and stuff like that. But this is a huge way to service the instrument.
I mean, as any guitar player knows, too, it can be a very, very solitary pursuit. You spend all these hours alone in a practice room or just existing as an individual soloist or musician.
Right.
And it also... It can be very easy to exist in a very limited bubble.
Right.
There are only certain people we communicate with on a regular basis if we're not actively trying to reach outside of that. And I think this is one way of us sort of figuring out how to engage. How to connect with the bigger world in hopefully new ways.
But what
as a team as well.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the mission statement. Is that the Cathar Project, no definite article, promotes the equitable and widespread access to the guitar worldwide.
Okay, so you have to get builders involved, right?
We have plans of getting luthiers involved.
That is becoming and will...
You guys are buying them with the money that you guys are raising?
No. We've got a big donation from Altamira Guitars, uh-huh. which is a company in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
We've had donations from Kenny Hill Guitars.
Oh, good, Kenny.
Who am I forgetting?
We've
had some individual donations of guitars as well.
Yeah, of course.
And it's added up really nicely.
Well, so you guys have a big fleet of guitars.
We have a big fleet of guitars now.
Right.
And the focus of our work now is the creation and the sustaining of year-round guitar programs for kids that otherwise wouldn't have access to them.
Awesome. And that's in all countries, and you guys are doing it in Mexico right now?
Right now we have two, yeah. One in Mexico and one in the Boston suburb of Alston in a community.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, Alston is the one that gets mixed up with Austin in the movie Road Trip.
That's how we know it too. I'm scared.
But that's good. So that's what you're... I was at the fundraiser last night. You guys did good. You guys played well.
I don't think any of us ever imagined the kind of work that would be involved with raising even a single dollar for an organization. It is hard work. It is knocking on the doorstep, on the doors of our friends, personal networks, everybody. You're literally building everything with your hands.
Well, so in an organization like this, too, there are so many... As we've learned, like springs and gears and moving parts and details that go into making something that may, from the outside, seem like a relatively simple thing. So it's been a steep learning curve. And like Adam said too, the fundraising is a nonstop. I mean, it's been a battle. For every cent we've raised.
And it's balancing, you know, we have this very pure artistic mission of bringing the guitar to areas that have this basic need for music, for the guitar. And
areas where kids, it's hard for people to imagine that there are areas in the United States, large areas, miles wide, where there are no musical instruments.
A majority of the majority of the country does not have access. It's really, it's kind of scary. I mean, it's a systemic problem.
Can you imagine? I mean, just being completely boy, I'd like to play a guitar, but I'll never be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's...
There's no teachers, there's no music, there's no instruments.
Yeah, there's a certain... I mean, when you look at it, it seems like a very simple infrastructure. It's like you need a very small space, you need a teacher, and an instrument, and you can make it happen. But there's so many gears, just like Matt was saying, that, I mean, there's so many facets to making that a reality. And, staying true to the artistic side while, pumping the pistons constantly... And strategizing and figuring out how to maneuver and from a systemic standpoint and how to keep it fresh and alive is such a challenge. And
go ahead.
No, the last year and a quarter, whatever it's been, it's been magical. But it's been a new experience for all of us. It's new ground.
Yeah,
and the thing is, you have to be. I think it comes from an entrepreneurial spirit,
right?
You have to be thinking outside the box constantly.
Yeah.
Which I mean, there are musicians out there who are thinking about projects related to music infrastructure, education. You have to think outside the box.
Yeah, you
It's constantly it's an evolving process. Yeah. Whether it has to do with finding performances or creating new programs or being a teacher, it's there. You can't be formulaic.
No.
Yeah. And there's a balance too between having a certain vision and just glomming onto that,
right,
at whatever cost, and staying supple enough to sort of adapt and evolve as needed, which. We've been required to do basically every day for the past year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, people go to Cathara. Where do they go?
We go to in order to.
And this is going
to
be written to. This is going to be
In order to find out more about us, you go to katharaproject.org.
Yeah,
that's KITHARA project.org.
Yeah,
and you'll find a couple things there. You'll find that we have a program in Mexico City, which is based in this little shanty town called Yugalito. And it's a very unique, self-sustained community of 1,000 families. I think Matt talked about this when he was on the show before. And then we have this, and that's one very distinct population.
Right.
And then in Boston, another very distinct population, but with the unified background of not having a...
Yeah.
Music education.
Yeah.
So they have that need, and we're filling that.
Yeah. And one of the really great things about the Boston program, especially, is we have three classes up there at the moment, and one of the classes is entirely made up of girls.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty remarkable because, in general, the guitar is, really – is full of as you say, dudes.
Yeah, dudes, meatheads.
And
– like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite a kind of thrilling thing to see, a lot of these girls being interested
in
playing guitar, which is marvelous. And, a wide variety of people as well, from a many, many kind of different backgrounds, each of them having their own challenges, each of their families having their own challenges as well. And, the work that's being done up in Boston, especially with a lot of people who are helping us and kind of becoming involved with the project, we've got an affiliate teacher up there. We've got
volunteers
that come in and kind of provide like a mentorship kind of system as well, and some people that come in and teach kind of mini individual lessons. And then, of course, the concerts and everything. We're trying to give them just as much kind of guitar immersion as possible.
Them a guitar
exactly. And, and then going on field trips, we've got one program happening up in Boston next week. Is it next week or the week after?
We finished the first full year of guitar classes.
Yeah.
Last week, And now, as sort of an encore to that, they're going to be taking part in the Young Guitarist Workshop at Boston Guitar Fest. And that's going to be awesome because it'll be part of a larger program. And they'll be able to engage.
Well, and then that's also like it's a little bit of a coming out party for you guys too.
Yeah. No, I mean it's...
And within you guys doing something in front of the guitar community.
Exactly. Yeah.
Congratulations on that. That's huge.
But also another really fantastic thing is that we just found out that we're going to have a summer program running as well.
Right.
Which is important for these kids to keep that consistency going. During the summer and everything. Which, we're really proud of.
Cool.
It doesn't really. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to make these programs happen. We're talking about. I mean, what I'd like to call chump change. I mean, it costs maybe $6,000-$7,000 to educate.
Yeah.
30 or 40 kids.
Yeah, yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, it's nothing.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the contributions, we're super, super grateful for the contributions by friends, families, local affiliates. Oh, yes. We had, Didario has been an awesome sponsor. Jeez. And we couldn't have done it with all these supporters. But we want to encourage people out there to really take a moment to explore what we've done and the kind of impact it's having on this community. It really is transformative. It's just a way for kids to have fun. It's a way for them to communicate with one another in a different kind of way. And it's a way for them to, as we like to say, travel around the world without even leaving your seat. So it's very powerful.
Travel around the world without even leaving your seat.
Yeah. It's first class ticket for everybody.
First class ticket, baby.
Just to piggyback on what you're saying, Adam and I did a residency in Mexico in September.
Yeah.
The first question we asked the students is why do we even play this? And he held up a guitar. Like, what is this? What's the reason for this in our lives?
Yeah.
And honest to God, Adam can attest to this. A girl raises her hand and she says, she couldn't have been more than 12 years old. She said, because it helps us confront the challenges we face in our daily lives.
Yeah.
And like, how can anyone even put it any better?
That's
it. And so we,
That's beautiful, guys. Yeah. It's an amazing project, and the work you're doing with it, the work with your trio. I wish we had more time to talk about the trio, but they can also check out some of the trio work, I'm assuming. We'll definitely play some of the stuff at the end of the show. Do you guys have recordings of any of that Albania stuff?
We got some YouTube videos. You can hook that up.
I'll go ahead. I'll figure that out. I'll just wire it. I'll wire it.
Yeah.
I'll find a way to convert it into a MP3, and then I will put the MP3 into the thing. I mean, I've done it before, and every time I do it, it takes me about 3 hours.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Go nerds!
All right, guys. All right, well, thanks so much for joining me. And
thank you, Brett.
Yeah,
no
thanks.
Problem.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, it's been a joy.
I love you guys. I'll see you soon.
Brett is such
All right, guys,
a loser. He doesn't have any friends.
I wasn't able to find, the videos. I'm actually not
care because
trying hard.
Brett is such a loser.
But if you want to look up their music, you can find them. That's CatharaProject.org.
Such a loser.
Yep. So.
Such a loser.
You win some, you lose some. Bye, guys.